Alrighty, folks, we're back. Little Led Zepp taking us into the second segment of the 4 o'clock hour. Lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline and bring in our guest, talk some hoops, a little football, maybe a few other things. He is the sports journalist for the Register Guard. You can follow along on Twitter, the handle at @SteveMims_RG. Steve Mims checks us in. Steve, how are things doing for you during this most unique time?
Oh, one day at a time, Steve. You know how it goes.
Yeah, so I've been asking people who come on, so your quarantine setup, you know, who's with you, you doing cooking, binge-watching Netflix, how are you and yours remaining active and sane during the lockdown?
I go for a walk every morning and a walk every afternoon, and just to try to get outside and clear my head. My wife normally joins me in the morning, and then head up to my little office and shut the door and go in there and start working. And I hear my son down below doing his distance learning. He's in sixth grade. And my daughter, who's a freshman at Oregon, is doing her distance learning. So I hear them doing some telecommuting with their teachers. So it feels like we're all doing everything we're supposed to do. We're just not doing it in the place we're supposed to be doing it.
That's perfect, by the way. So, Duck Hoops, just from an observation point of view, as somebody who literally sees every play, you think about Peyton Pritchard. He arrived here. He was a solid player as a freshman on a Final Four team. And then after, decent performances as a sophomore and junior, just how great of a story was it from your lens to just see a guy from this state just blossom like that to become one of the, the best players in the country?
Yeah, it was cool to see. It was cool to see, a guy who basically admits that, he lost some confidence there kind of during that sophomore and then carrying into the junior year. I mean, he's a guy who probably lost some confidence and was, maybe another couple bad weeks away from, you wonder if he gets it back. I mean, 10 games left in the season last year when it kind of came to him. I mean, what happens if, two more weeks he struggles and then they don't make the deep run, and does he come into his senior season with the confidence that he picked up at the end of the year? So that was kind of an interesting aspect of it. And, yeah, I mean, just to, we don't get to see guys play for 4 years very often in college anymore. And so when you do, it's fun to see a guy go from, one stage and make the jump. I mean, we look at guys like, Lou King and Troy Brown who came by, and you never really got to see anything. They came in and they was there for a year, and you're like, boy, what could year two, three, and maybe even a four have been? So it was nice to see again a guy that you could follow for 4 years and see the jumps that came at different points in his career.
With Pritchard gone to the NBA, there's a hole there, assuming Will Richardson becomes the point. Last time we spoke, since then Jalen Terry made it official, signed his letter of intent. So that guy, how nice of a score is it for the program? I mean, what have you learned about his game?
Yeah, he's quick. I mean, he's got some quickness that maybe Oregon didn't have last year out there. I think he's a guy also who, I don't think it's a one and done guy coming in again. I think you're looking at a guy who can come in and have his freshman year, and I think he comes off the bench. Like you say, I think Richardson starts, if not probably Hardy, the grad transfer, and they kind of give Terry a chance to work his way, maybe like you saw last year with a guy like T.J. Walker and Chandler Lawson, freshman, who kind of worked their way through. And then I think, with next year, Richardson, goes into his senior year, the grad transfer leaves, and then Hardy becomes a bigger part of it probably his sophomore year.
We're talking with Steve Mims of the Register Guard, talking about Richardson, who had some struggles at times in conference play, but obviously some enormous moments, the dish at Arizona, finished strong. How well suited do you think he and his game are to kind of take that mantle of leadership from Pritchard and, lead this team as the point guard?
Yeah, I think he's got, his personality, he's a little quiet, but I think he's a guy who's grown with that, and we've seen over the last couple of years. I mean, he's become a guy who's become much more comfortable, I'll just say in interviews type situations. He's a guy who seems to be more comfortable in that kind of a spot now. So I think that kind of carries over to, how comfortable you feel talking to your team. I think, he'll be the third year guy. I mean, he'll be, the veteran on the team. Obviously, the seniors they'll have next year, a guy like Duarte's in year two, and Hardy's a grad transfer, and Murray hasn't played yet. He had to sit out this year. So Richardson gets to be, you know, the veteran on the team. And I think with a voice that should carry some weight in that locker room because of what he's been through. And you know, he's another guy who's kind of defied current basketball trends. You know, in his freshman year when he didn't play a lot of four-star guys like that would have been out of here after 1 year. But he stuck it out. And, you know, last year settled into the role as a sixth man, didn't complain about it, said he liked that. And now he probably waits his turn and gets to be starting as a junior. So I think if you're a teammate of his, you probably look at that. That's another leadership. It's just the way he's kind of handled whatever situation Altman's thrown at him.
Yeah, I really like that kid's game and his attitude. You know, I was thinking kind of a general Steve Mims question. All these years we've known each other from when we used to hang out at Old Civic Stadium for M's games to all the hoops and football we've been. But I don't actually know exactly where you're from. And, you know, I know you went to the U of O. So where do you hail from? And did Steve Mims growing up, what were your college and sports, pro sports loyalties?
Oh, I grew up in Portland. I went to Jesuit up in Portland and got involved in journalism there. And then, like you said, got into journalism, carried it over to U of O, and graduated about 25 years ago. So I've always been a, you know, I grew up on the Blazers and really enjoyed those, you know, kind of when I was in college, those 89, 90, 91.
Not as
much as, you know, those were great days. Even before that, I mean, I'll go back to the Jim Paxson days. My dad had, you know, season tickets split six ways in the office, so we'd get to go to, you know, five or six games. And so I kind of grew up on kind of those early 80s and then into the 90s Blazer teams. And, you know, for some reason, the Kansas City Royals finally paid off after about 25 years, a couple years ago. And I'll probably shouldn't even talk about football because I don't think you want to hear me talking about the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, you know, you think the Royals of those years, your formative years, were really good. And obviously, you know, aside from the late 80s, the Cowboys have always been pretty good. So we'll let you off the hook for that one. All right, there. A couple extra pieces of the Mims puzzle fall into place.
We're all doing puzzles these days, right? So
yeah, I guess that makes sense. You know, after the NFL draft, you hit on something on Twitter. Jacob Breeland, the Duck tight end who signed as a free agent with Baltimore, it looked like he was going to have a monster season, maybe one of the best by a tight end ever here till he got hurt. So you like his shot to make it in the NFL, and you mentioned something about this lockdown might have really hurt his chances to make impressions on teams.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I just think that, you know, it's the kind of thing to where, you know, nobody could really see him go run around or work out or get an idea where he's at. If, you know, I think teams want to know, is he coming along as you'd expect, or is it going slower? Is he back to full speed? And normally in that process, you know, he could fly out to teams and take him in and they could have their doctors take a look at him. But, you know, it's you know, we heard so much about this with Tua, and obviously that was a prospect that was going to go high either way. But, you know, I think for a guy like Breeland that teams were looking and couldn't get a clear idea just where he's at in his rehab, that probably knocked him down a little bit to be undrafted. Where I think if, you know, if he has the year that he was on pace to have, he seems like, you know, that's a fourth, fifth round guy. And he bulked up this year. I mean, I think that would have been kind of the thing on him coming into the year was, yeah, great receiver, but can he block for you, which you need in the NFL? And I think he would have shown a little bit more of that this year if he'd gotten able to play the whole season.
Yeah, I really think for an undrafted guy, he's got a legit shot. A couple final thoughts. We know Justin Herbert is gone. The assumption was Tyler Shuck, who, regardless, he's had limited game experience and no experience behind him. So enter the transfer from BC, Anthony Brown. What did you make of the decision to go that route and, you know, bring in a guy who's actually got experience?
Yeah, I thought it made a lot of sense because Brown seems that, you know, I mean, normally you bring a grad transfer quarterback in. We saw it with Adams and Prukup, and it was pretty clear, you know, those guys were told, look, you come in here, this job's yours. That's how you get them. And Brown was a guy that clearly, you know, it was later in the process, and he probably had gotten a lot of teams that were telling him, you know, maybe, maybe, maybe. And I think, you know, he comes in here with knowing that there's somebody ahead of him, but that he has a chance to beat him out. And I think Shuck probably, you know, it can help him to have a little bit more competition going in. So I think it made a lot of sense just because it doesn't feel like, you know, the vibe between those two would be, you know, I mean, if Brown comes in and beats them out, Chuck, I think, says, hey, you know, you beat me out and there's a couple more years for him. And if, you know, Chuck gets the job, I think Brown comes in and says, hey, I knew the risk coming in that there was somebody there. So it doesn't feel like, you know, this is one of these situations where if the one guy gets it, the other guy's going to be a problem. And I think those are the times. Anytime you can add depth and kind of keep your chemistry going, which it sounds like Brown's already in town. So, I mean, you take a look at that. That's that was interesting to me, a guy who's from New Jersey and decided even with the lockout to come out here and get to know his teammates. So I thought that was a positive sign just to take from him.
Yeah, I agree. I thought, you know, more competition can't hurt. So finally, when he returned for his senior season, some thought Herbert could have been the top pick in last year's draft. Now we know Burrow went one, Tua to the Dolphins, Herbert to the Chargers. Not the pressure of having to step in and play right away. That's been a pretty solid franchise for more than a decade. What would you think about Justin Landon with the Bolts?
Yeah, I thought it was a good spot. You know, it seems like a team that had the sixth pick is, you know, not fluky, but that's not a team that, you know, is perennially down there and, you know, you're going to have to worry about, you know, can they ever win? I mean, that's a team that's won and had success. I think, you know, if you're his family, you look at, you know, a quick flight down to L.A. as opposed to Miami, I think that's a good spot there in that sense. And I think, you know, Herbert's not a guy who's going to want to be in the limelight, never has. And, you know, you could say, oh, L.A., but, you know, I mean, really the Chargers are probably the, you know, what, fifth, sixth, most covered team down in that area. I mean, you know, you've got another NFL team ahead of them in the city. You got Dodgers, a couple NBA teams, USC. I mean, they can kind of fly in the background of that town. I think that's kind of how he'd like it. And also, you got a guy there who, you know, Tyrod Taylor, who's a pro and can kind of run the team if Herbert's not ready. And at the same time, I think Taylor's also a guy who, you know, will kind of help Justin. Probably knows that he's not the future quarterback for that franchise, so he'll probably do his work with Justin. So, yeah, and then, you know, some receivers down there. They got Eckler at running back. So I think, all in all, I think you kind of saw the excitement when, you know, in the draft and that family when it happened. I think that was probably, if you gave them the top six options, that was maybe the city and the franchise they would have wanted to go to the most.
Yeah, I was really happy for him and them, like you said, rather than have to travel to Miami, a franchise that's been all over the map, to stay in the I-5 card. All right, folks, he's Steve Mims. They've got a four-way plan in dealing with the COVID-19 virus at his house. They're staying sane. Keep up with what he's doing on Twitter, at @SteveMims_RG. Always appreciate your time and insight. Be healthy, be safe, and we'll catch up soon, Steve.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Same to you.
All right, take it easy. All right, there you go. Steve Mims, register guard. Good stuff there. What do you say, folks? Take our final break. We'll return. Home stretch of the 4 o'clock hour. Sports Talk is next. 95.3 The Score.